the headlines, Iran says an agreement is within reach on the revival of the 2015 deal if the U.S. is realistic. Day 32 of a Russia-Ukraine conflict, Kiev announces an agreement to evacuate civilians from frontline areas, including Mariupol. And in a rare public message of support, Israel sympathizes with Saudi Arabia over the latest wave of Yemeni retaliatory strikes. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumi Shahmati, and these are our top stories this hour. Iran's foreign minister says the U.S. is hindering the revival of the JCPOA. Hossein Amir Abdullahian says the U.S. has not yet made a decision to remove sanctions, denying Iran economic benefits. Amir Abdullahian made the remarks during a meeting in Tehran with Enrique Mora, the EU coordinator for the Vienna talks to restore the 2015 deal. The foreign minister said a reception of full economic benefits and effective removal of sanctions are fundamental priorities for Iran. The top Iranian diplomat stressed that his country has participated in the Vienna talks with seriousness and has tabled the necessary initiatives to reach an agreement. Amir Abdullahian said the other sides, particularly the U.S., must now adopt a realistic stance to resolve the outstanding issues. Mora has traveled to Iran with the declared goal of closing the remaining gaps in the negotiations. Head of Iran's Strategic Council on Foreign Relations has called for the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps to be removed from the list of terrorist groups.
IRGC is a national army, and a national army cannot be listed as terrorist group. And certainly it is not acceptable. That is very important for Iranians.
Kamal Kharazi made the call at the Doha Forum. Also present at the sessions was the U.S. Special Envoy for Iran, Robert Malley, who said Washington has not yet decided to delist IRGC as a terrorist entity. He said many of the sanctions on the IRGC will remain in place. So with regards to the Vienna negotiations on the Iran deal, Malley said an agreement was not close, but not imminent, was close, but not imminent after 11 months of discussions. Iran is demanding economic guarantees and the removal of all U.S. sanctions in exchange for a return to its commitments under the deal. Now to the latest on the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. The two countries have agreed to open two humanitarian corridors to evacuate civilians from frontline areas. A senior Ukrainian official says that under the agreement, people will be allowed to leave the southern city of Mariupol by their cars. More than 3.8 million people have fled Ukraine since over a month ago, and the UN says around 90% of them are women and children. Most of them have fled to neighboring Poland. The UN Human Rights Office says over 1,100 civilians have been killed and 1,800 wounded. The world body says the true casualty figures are expected to be much higher. Meanwhile, President Zelensky of Ukraine is urging Western states to provide his country with weapons and military hardware so it can defend itself against Russian attacks.
What is the price of this security? This is very, very specific. It is planes for Ukraine. It is tanks for our state. It is missile defense. It is anti-ship weapons. That is what our partners have. That is what is just gathering dust there. After all, this is all not only for the freedom of Ukraine, but for the freedom of Europe.
Speaking in a video address on Saturday, Zelensky said Ukraine is asking for just a tiny fraction of NATO's arms and not more. He also asked Europeans whether they are afraid of Moscow and warned again that Russia's military operation could endanger the entire Europe. Zelensky insists that Russia will seek to expand further into Europe if Ukraine falls, but NATO does not back his request for a no-fly zone on the grounds that it could provoke a wider war. Earlier in the day, Zelensky talked to his Polish counterpart and demanded a rapid transfer of Russian-made fighter aircraft from Eastern Europe to Ukraine to be used against Russian troops. And the U.S. president raises eyebrows after suggesting that his Russian counterpart should not remain in office.
We will have a different future, a brighter future, rooted in democracy and principle, hope and light, of decency and dignity, of freedom and possibilities. For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
God bless you. In response, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said the Russian president is elected by the people of Russia, and that is not up to Biden. It is not actually up to Biden to decide who should be in power in the country. The White House later explained that Biden was not calling for a regime change in Russia. It said the U.S. president meant that Putin cannot be allowed to exercise power over its neighbors or the region. Palestinian resistance groups have blasted the meeting between some Arab foreign ministers and Israeli officials in a summit in occupied territories. The Hamas resistance movement condemned the meeting in a Nakab desert as Tel Aviv is pressing ahead with its expansionism and illegal settlement activities there. Hamas said the meeting is a symbol of cooperation with Israeli plots against Palestine and its people. Foreign ministers of the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Morocco, and Egypt held talks with Israeli officials to discuss relations. The Arab nations have been part of the 2020 normalization agreement, also known as the Abraham Accord, brokered by former U.S. President Donald Trump. Secretary of State Antony Blinken will also take part in the summit, which continues until Monday. Meanwhile, in a rare public message of support, Israel extends its sympathies to Saudi Arabia following a flurry of Yemeni strikes on multiple targets across the kingdom. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has expressed Israel's sorrow to Riyadh over the attack, which he described as horrific. He was referring to a wave of missile and drone strikes that the Yemeni army conducted on several sites deep inside Saudi Arabia on the 7th anniversary of the war 2 days ago. The strikes caused a huge fire at an Aramco oil storage facility in Jeddah. The Israeli regime has no formal relations with Saudi Arabia, but the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain, both allies of Riyadh, normalized ties with Israel about 2 years ago. In January, Tel Aviv offered security and intelligence support to the UAE after a deadly Yemen strike hit its capital, Abu Dhabi. We asked political analyst Barry Grossman to share with us his view on Israel's public message of support for Saudi Arabia in the wake of Yemen's retaliatory attacks on the kingdom. Let's take a listen.
My take is that Israel and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia have been liaising for a long time. This kind of statement is intended for the peanut gallery. It bears no resemblance to reality. Let's be clear. Saudi Arabia is in a state of war with Yemen, having declared and waged a belligerent war on Yemen in order to essentially keep Yemen a suzerainty of Saudi Arabia so that it's largely dominated by decisions made in Riyadh. As for the statement itself, the fact that the Prime Minister of Israel describes it, these attacks as being horrible, is itself revealing. Saudi Arabia's in a state of war. There weren't exactly piles of victims from these attacks. They targeted infrastructure and were very successful at doing that, as was Yemen's right to do, being in a state of war with Saudi Arabia.
Israeli crop duster planes have sprayed toxic herbicides on Gaza's farmlands as Tel Aviv continues its inhumane acts of aggression against the impoverished coastal enclave. Farmers in the Gaza Strip see no end in sight for their suffering as Israel continues to destroy their crops. Ashraf Shannon has more.
In yet another act of Israeli aggression against the Palestinians of Gaza, Israeli planes sprayed toxic chemicals on the eastern perimeter of the coastal enclave. Israeli crop duster planes sprayed herbicides at least twice this week on Gaza farming areas. The Israeli regime regularly sprays Palestinian agricultural lands near the so-called buffer zone with dangerous substances which destroy the crops. For more than a decade, Israeli planes sprayed Gaza's farmlands several times a year, destroying various crops.
The Israelis spread herbicides to the farmers' land beside the border in order to prevent them to plant in their land, to push the farmers out of their land and leave their land without any trees in order to feed them for their food security and for their children.
Spraying unknown toxic substances on Gaza's farmlands may have long-lasting effects on the environment. Gazan farmers say they are struggling to make ends meet due to Israel's inhumane practices.
Israel sprays our farmlands with poison. The chemicals that they spray don't kill the weed on the fence. They only kill our crops. We suffer heavy losses when Israel sprays our land because it's killing our crops and poisoning our farmlands.
Israel claims that it sprays what it described as weed killers for security reasons, but experts say the Israeli regime aims to destroy the livelihoods of farmers.
Using such herbicides on Gaza Strip by the Israelis, it's kind of offensive towards the Palestinian farmers. At the same time, towards the Palestinian food security, these areas are feeding the Palestinians with the needed vegetables and other kinds.
Rights groups say the suffering of farmers and their families in Gaza reflects the scope of Israeli human rights violations. Gazan farmers have been hit hard by the Israeli blockade and wars since 2007. Now experts say that Israel's poisoning of crops will make a bad situation worse and harm vital sources of food in the territory. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
Yemen has announced a unilateral truce suspending all retaliatory strikes against Saudi Arabia. Sana'a says it is ready for a permanent ceasefire if Saudi Arabia ends its seven-year-long war against the conflict-ridden country. The war has turned Yemen into the scene of the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Here's a report on the seventh anniversary of the Saudi war on Yemen and the latest developments on the ground.
Thousands of Yemenis have staged mass protests across the country, including the capital Sana'a, on the National Day of Resilience, the day when the Saudi-led coalition began its aggression on Yemen. The demonstrators marked the seventh anniversary of the Saudi-led war on their country, denounced the aggression, and expressed their support for resistance against the Saudi-led invasion. The demonstrations followed a wave of retaliatory drone and missile attacks that hit targets across Saudi Arabia.
In response to the ongoing unjust siege on our country and our people, the Yemen Armed Forces underwent the third breaking siege operation through ballistic missiles and drones in the following manner. We targeted Aramco facilities facilities in Jeddah and other locations in the capital of her Saudi enemy, Riyadh.
Facilities belonging to the Saudi state oil company, Aramco, were also hit in Jizan and Najran in the south. The Yemeni army also says it launched drone attacks against oil refineries in the east of the kingdom. According to the army, multiple vital targets in several other locations, including in Abha in Asir region, have also been hit by ballistic missiles. This is the Yemeni army's highest-profile attack yet on the kingdom. The army vowed to continue the retaliatory military operations until Riyadh stops its years-long aggression and lifts its all-out siege on Yemen. Retaliatory missile and drone strikes against oil storage facilities in Saudi Arabia rekindled concerns over supply shortages as crude oil prices surged and broke the $120 level. The news added fuel to the already volatile oil market, shadowed by supply risks related to the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia has launched a series of attacks against Yemen, targeting the country's facilities in the provinces of Hodeidah and Sana'a, killing at least 8 people. The coalition has hit oil facilities in Hodeidah. That violates a 2018 ceasefire deal that ended months of fighting in the city, which handles about 70% of Yemen's commercial and humanitarian imports. The air raids also hit the nearby Port Salif, also on the Red Sea. Saudi Arabia's warmongering policies in Yemen have so far killed hundreds of thousands of Yemenis, injured tens of thousands, and displaced millions. However, the war has stopped well shy of its goals, as the Yemeni army is gaining momentum by striking a heavy blow against the Riyadh regime. It's high time Saudis realize that they are on the losing side of the war, one in which militarily they are defeated while endangering their jewel, Aramco.
Certainly, they are losing this war. The Yemeni government, the Yemeni military is growing in strength since the beginning of the war. They are developing their own weapons and also relying on their allies to provide them with weapons. This recent strike was very targeted, very calculated, and was a big surprise to Saudi Arabia.
Now, Canada's indigenous people are to meet with Pope Francis in the Vatican to ask for an apology for the church's role in residential schools where indigenous children were abused. More than 30 indigenous elders and school survivors are meeting the Pope on Monday and Friday. Last year, the remains of 215 children were discovered at the former Indian residential school in the Western Canadian province of British Columbia. Hundreds more unmarked burial sites have been found since. The harrowing discovery brought new dimensions of accountability. The school, run mostly by the Catholic Church, aimed to assimilate Indigenous children between 18 and 31 and 1996. That brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their offspring. The answers are based upon the noble Quran and the narrations of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his holy progeny. We have in this studio our guest speaker, Sister Radhia Batul Najafi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Today also we are going to discuss a very important issue, and that is how to manage the free time of our teenagers. This is a very, very important issue. I think almost every single parent have this issue, yeah?
Yeah,
as
yeah.
As we are having since a couple of years.
Exactly. And especially nowadays, because, you know, in olden ages, sometimes when I see some movies and some history that, you know, parents, especially father, used to work with the son of the family, and girls are working with mother, and, you know, they were engaged with the parents. But nowadays, because of the big gap, yeah, in this digital generation, they don't come and mingle with you very easily. So therefore, after their school and their whatever projects they have so much time, weekends and holidays, and we don't know what to do with them.
Like in our Masumin's era, yeah, they didn't have this much free time because it was very hard for them to have comfortable life. It was very tough because all the children and parents, they would work together hard. You know, even teenagers, they would work with their parents in the fields or whatever work they were doing. That's why they didn't have this much time.
Yeah.
But unfortunately or fortunately, nowadays everybody is earning enough and they have a lot of time to spend, and sometimes they don't know how to spend the time, you know.
Exactly.
Despite all these, you know, social media, television channels, all these entertainments, but still sometimes they don't know how to spend time.
Yeah.
And especially our teenagers.
Yes.
Yeah, if we don't manage this free time, sometimes it can, you know, cause so many problems in them.
And I love this hadith which says that on the day of judgment, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to ask, for example, about wealth, you know, like about your age, about your time. But look at the way Allah is asking. Allah is saying, what you have done, yeah, with your this age and with your life, number one. Then separately, Allah is going to ask about the youth age. That, for example, if you were 70 years old, what you have done in 70? And then what you have done from teens till, for example, 30, which is your youth age.
Peak age.
Peak age. So special question is about that period of life, which was full of, you know, skills and full of talent and full of energy. So we should be very, very careful about this period of the life. Yes.
Yeah. If we are not cautious about these things, in future, we will feel regret, definitely. So We will take a short break. Inshallah, after break, we will come back.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Dear listeners, welcome back. So we have to give them guidelines and we have to manage their free time. And especially parents, both, they should sit together and they have to manage such a, you know, timetable that youth should enjoy also, and he should be busy.
Exactly. Very productively, positively. And I love the way Luqman Hakim, yeah, very, very great personality, he would give so many advices to his son. And also Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, the way he's talking to his young son, Imam Ali alayhi salam, that, you know, look at me as a father. I'm in my, you know, age of, I'm an adult person, yeah, maybe. After a few years, I'll go from this world. So take some ibrah and some lessons from my life. So we as a parents, we are a big lesson for our teenagers, that look at us, you know, what we have done and how age is just running and time is, you know, flying. So you should be very careful about your this time and age. So you know, because according to hadith, youth age is like masti, like a time of negligence. Like how when we drink alcohol or wine, you know, your mind maybe, you know, doesn't work.
Yeah, it becomes, I think, some very, very comfortable they feel and they don't think about the...
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
anything.
The same way, even youth age, you know, like if you have so much wealth or so much fame or so much, you know, like facilities, and your youth age itself is diverting you from your purpose of life. So we as a parents, we will stand there to help, to protect, to inform, you know, to guide, to give some direction to our youth age.
And our youth, especially when they feel that this is something entertaining, and definitely then they will come to us.
Yeah, yeah.
The most important thing for our youth and teenagers is entertainment. If they feel that this activity will entertain them, definitely they will come with us. But if they say it's boring, then it's very hard for us to bring them in this.
Because day by day, the level of concentration is, you know, decreasing.
Yeah, it's distracting. Yeah,
because the screen life is, you know, always keep changing. So they want something new and refreshing and very entertainment. It's not like before, black and white and just, you know, our youth, and we were in the youth age, teenage. So we were just, you know, very comfortable with little facilities.
Yeah,
but nowadays, their demand, their demand is so high.
Sometimes we watch a movie in a low quality, they can't sit with us and see. They say, Baba, what you are watching?
Exactly.
Because we don't care about this, you know, HD quality, ultra HD quality. You know, when we can see at the screen, that is enough for us. But our kids, they are very sensitive because of this age, because of the facilities they are getting.
Yes.
So this is very important for parents to give them good entertainment. Dear listeners, let's take a short break. We will come back after the break.
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, the best among you is he who learns the Quran and teaches it.
يا مقيا الخيرات يا مطي الخيرات.
Dear listeners, welcome back. I just was reading a hadith from Imam Radha alayhi salam, where he says, اجعلوا لأنفسكم حظا من الدنيا بإعطائها ما تشتهي من الحلال. Give yourself some time, a portion from this world, بإعطائها ما تشتهي من الحلال. Whatever your bodies, your soul, your nafs wants, give them, but min al halal, halal entertainment.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, we as religious family or religious parents, we are very sensitive about entertainment. We say this is not allowed, we should not laugh, we should not waste our time. Especially when we come to advice to our teenagers, we do exaggerations sometimes. And we should be very, very cautious about this.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Because when it comes to religion, sometimes we will become very extremist in that sense that we don't see the way. Even Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, sometimes they are more lenient and we are more strict, towards our children. And I remember one hadith says that if you don't divide your days into certain areas, for example, one is for just worshiping Allah, one is for taking care of others, one is to fulfill your duties, and one is for halal entertainment. And then Imam says, if you don't have enough and quality halal entertainment, then it will affect on your other part of the life, rest of the, portion of the life. For example, then you will not be a good servant. You can't worship nicely. You can't fulfill your duties nicely, So if you want to really be loyal towards your duties, then you have to have amazing halal entertainment time in your day-to-day life.
Because if you are fresh, then you can serve your mu'mineen brothers and sisters. Then you can do good ibadat. As Imam Ridha alayhi salam, in the same hadith says, اجتهدوا أن يكون زمانكم أربع ساعات.
Yeah.
Some ayma, they have divided to, I think sometimes six times and sometimes five. But Imam Ridha says, divide your time into four parts. Sa'atun lillahi lilmunaja.
Exactly.
One part of time, your time should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator. Wa sa'atun li amri al-ma'ash. Portion of your life should be specified for your earnings, for your office time, for your duty time. وَسَاعَةٌ لِلْمُعَاشِرَةِ الْإِخْوَانِ الثِّقَاتِ. Trustworthy brothers and sisters.
Friendship, especially chit-chat with your, colleagues or your, relatives, class fellows. So nice.
And Islam always emphasized to meet them face by face, not only on social media,
exactly,
on WhatsApp or
Facebook. Imam Radha alayhi salam is advising us that our teenagers, it's nice for them to call their friends in their house, or just if they want to go and have any picnic with their friends, so we as a parents, we have to allow them, we have to be very thankful to Allah that he's going with his good friends, and he's having a very nice friend circle.
Even parents should encourage, they should facilitate them, they should tell them to make a circle, once a week, twice a week, or maybe once in 10 days. They should get together and spend their time in a park or wherever they do. And the last part of your time, this is very important. وَسَاعَةٌ تُخَلُّونَ فِيهَا لِلَذَّاتِكُمْ. And spare a part of your time for your entertainment, for your pleasure. And he continues, Imam continues, وَبِهَذِهِ السَّاعَةِ تَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى السَّاعَاتِ الثَّلَاثِ. Why this part is very important? Imam says, if you entertain yourself and refresh yourself, then you will be able to do ibadah, you will be able to have, you know, nice gatherings with a fresh face, exactly, with your friends, and then you can do your work also very nicely. You can do your duties, you can fulfill your duties. So in this hadith, Imam alayhi salam gives us a very golden guideline how to spend our time. And from this we can learn that we should manage our teenagers' time also. We should give enough time for their entertainment. Then definitely if they are nicely entertained, they can do their homeworks, they can do their duties, they can help in our house. All these duties they can fulfill.
Inshallah.
Dear listeners, thank you for joining our program. If you have any question, comments, or any suggestion, you can write us at englishradio@irib.ir, and you can follow us on our social media, Call of Islam Radio, and you can visit our website, parstoday.com. Until next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents. For humanity. Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program for humanity. We are looking at justice from the perspective of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi al-salam, which is found at least in the letter that he wrote for one of his commanders, Malik al-Ashtar. Now, Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi, among the things that he said to Malik, he said to him, remember that people are composed of different classes. Well, obviously, that's a very important fact that needs to be taken into consideration. And that is when we deal with people, we have to keep in mind we have different classes, meaning there are different types of people, not classes in terms of the wealthy and the poor, or those who are in higher status and those who are in lower status. No, rather different jobs and different positions and different professions. And that's something have to be highlighted. When we look at people, we have to keep in mind that as human beings, we are created as social, civilized creatures. We are not created as cavemen or as people who live in the forest or in the deserts, who are not Bedouins. We need one another to exist. As much as I need a doctor needs a bradesman. A doctor needs a blacksmith. A blacksmith will need a police officer. A police officer will need, I don't know, someone else. So those classes need to be taken into consideration. So he says to him, he says to Malik, that when you deal with people, you have to make sure that this is maintained. For example, he says to him, the progress of one is dependent on the progress of every other, which is very true. And none can afford to be independent of their own. I, as a person, cannot try to provide for myself in everything. I cannot heal myself when I'm sick. I cannot build for myself when I need to build a house. I cannot grow crops if I need to feed myself. All these things I am dependent on other people to do. And people at the same time, they might be dependent on a skill that I have as well. So we, at the end of the day, we all need one another. And the fact is, since we have different classes, then each of that class, each of profession, they have specific rights and duties that they must be given to them, especially when we're trying to apply the concept of justice. Because at the end of the day, justice means that you have to give everyone their rights. And some people might require more than other people. Not being equal. Being equal is one thing. Applying justice is another. So Amir al-Mu'mineen trying to bring that to the mind of Malik, which in reality, he's bringing that to us, all of us. He's bringing that to all of us, because he's not just talking to Malik, he's talking to everyone that reads this letter. Let us take a short break and then we continue right after.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. Just before the break, we were saying that Amir al-Mu'mineen was telling Malik to keep in mind that there are different classes of people. So he says to him, we have the army formed of the soldiers of God. Now, obviously, considering that the country is a Muslim country and there are Muslims and they're trying to defend their land, we have our civil officers and their establishments, our judiciary, our revenue collectors, the tax collectors, and our public relation officers. So those are just different groups of people, different classes of government that Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah Ali is highlighting and mentioning to Malik al-Ashtar Radwanullahi Alayh. And then he says to him, even the Muslims themselves, they consist of Muslims and as what we call dhimmi, those who are non-Muslims, but they have given an oath that they would live and under Islamic system and pay their taxes and not to cause any harm or any problems to Muslims. So Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah Alayhi, he says to Malik, keep those people in mind. And he says to him, amongst those people are merchants and craftsmen, that and the unemployed and the indigent. And he says to him, God has prescribed for them their several rights, duties, and obligations. They are all defined and preserved in the Quran and in the traditions and the hadith of the Holy Prophet. Now, obviously, the simple matter is that Amir al-Mu'mineen is saying to Malik that all these groups, all these classes, they have rights, duties, and obligations. They take and they have to give. And where do we find these rights and these duties and obligations? Do I make them as I see fit? Do the government make it as they see fit? Does the constitution says how things should be run when it comes to these classes? Or who should tell us? Well, obviously, from the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, this case, this task, is not a task for man. Rather, it is a task for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find these things in the words of the Quran, in the instructions of the Quran, and in the tradition and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Then Amir al-Mu'mineen goes on to explain how these different types of classes play a major role in trying to protect the society. Example, he talks about the armies. An army, he says, is a fortress that helps and protects the people. So people, me and you, we need the military defense system. We need our protection. We need to feel secure and safe. That's just our natural basic right that has to be provided by the governments. Governments should not seek power to destroy other nations or to flex their muscles against other nations. Rather, they should use their power and they should develop their armies in order to protect their own members, their own citizens, they're the common people. And that's just the basic right. So Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah Alayh, he highlights that fact to Malik that when you look at people, you have different classes and each requires a certain right and a certain privilege and they have certain duties and certain obligations. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters. 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.com/en. And now, you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.